This is Paul Goldschmidt of the Arizona Diamondbacks. You're listening to Bobcat Radio on 89.9.
Thank you very much, Paul Goldschmidt, who is tearing up the NL, apparently.
Hitting 330, three homers, 14 RBIs.
He is...
So, you know, basically just the same old story. Just another
right
day
back,
at the office for Paul Goldschmidt.
Right back to where he left off, leaving the MLB on storm. And with that, we're off and running here on the next big segment of Bobcat Radio. I'm your host, Evan. I'm up in the studio with Landon and Jason. We have some terrific playoff talk to get to because it is that time of year again. However, we're going to break in the action and talk about NFL because Landon had pointed out to me that they're thinking of expanding the playoffs and the schedule came out.
Well, this is purely in the experimental stage, so to speak, like purely in the proposal stage because Roger Goodell has said, and this is the second time in the last 3 months or so that this issue has been brought up. Goodell saying that they will discuss a possible expansion from 12 teams to 14 teams. It wouldn't change the fact that the top seed still gets a first-round bye. They would still get a first-round bye, but then you would have the number 2 team play the number 7 team, 3, 6, and 4, 5. Essentially, the same format you have, you know, NHL, NBA, things of that sort. So first off, just let me get y'all's thoughts on this. Good idea, bad idea? Are they going down a slippery slope by even considering it?
How many teams they already
right,
what is it? 12 teams make the playoffs out of 32?
Yeah, they're considering expanding it from 12 to 14.
I mean, if you start doing that, the Cowgirls are going to start making the playoffs, so I don't know why you'd want to do that.
Oh, you absolutely
one.
Can't have that.
You can't have the Cowgirls making the playoffs.
Are we sure they'd make the playoffs?
Jason, even the Dolphins might make the playoffs.
I don't want to talk about last
or
season.
Or team.
It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I mean, it's about money. I mean, that's all it is.
Everything is about money nowadays.
Yeah, obviously fans probably want to see more games, but... The players have already come out and said they don't like the preseason, you know. They want to cut that down, and then Roger Goodell comes back and says, okay, we'll cut that down, but we're going to add more playoff games. And I know it's the playoff. I know it means a whole lot more to the players, to the fans, to the coaches, to everybody. But adding more teams, let's say a team that is 8-8 or something like that. We've seen it happen in the NBA where just teams with horrible records get
make
in there
the playoffs.
Because, you know, they have to have that many teams to get in there. And I know the NFL's a little different. They've got a lot less teams. But... what if something like that happens? There was a season, was it last season, season four last, where San Diego made it 8-8 or something like that?
And
to me, an 8-8 team, a .500 team in the NFL doesn't belong in the playoffs.
It was when they were, who was it? It was Pete Carroll's 7-9.
Oh, yeah.
Seahawks.
Yeah, there you go.
And New Orleans had to come up to Seattle, the world champs, and they beat them with the Marshawn Lynch run.
Yeah.
So, I mean, are they going to do it? Probably.
Well, but see, here's the thing. I mean, even if the owners approve it, the players' union, like the players' association, has to approve it as well. And while there has been some opposition to it, there really hasn't been as much as you might think. You know, players and teams are somewhat warming up to the idea of the expanded playoffs.
If you're going to have 14 teams make it, you might as well just have a tournament to begin the year, and whoever, and right there, if you lose, you're done. Just a 32-team tournament, right to start the season off.
So
and
you
if
put
you
in the work all summer, and then you
game,
play one game.
That's all you get.
You can get one game, and if you're done, you're done. Hey, man, life's not fair.
Goodell's looking at expanding the draft as well. So, I mean, he's obviously trying to grow his market and everything like that, but I think they're just pushing a little too far, too fast.
Well, with that, we're going to talk real quick about the Dallas Cowgirls schedule because that's the only thing that matters. I wanted to look at it real quick, and I'm already salivating. So real quick, we're going to start the I'm gonna say the game, and then y'all two are going to say win or loss.
All right. And
keep track of it, and we're going to do the Dallas Cowgirls record right here on top of Old Main. So Jerry Jones, make sure you're taking notes. Okay, week one, San Fran at Dallas.
Loss.
Okay, week two, Dallas at Tennessee.
Win.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's a win.
Okay, Dallas at St. Louis.
Win.
I'm actually going loss there.
You're going loss.
Yes, I am.
I wouldn't be surprised. New Orleans is coming to Dallas week four.
Loss. That's definitely a loss.
And then Houston and Dallas, they're finally getting to play each other. First time J.J. Watt is going to step into AT&T building.
I'm going to go loss on that one. I like Houston.
I'm actually going to go win. I'm sorry, with the Texans quarterback situation, I just don't see the game really even being that close. J.J. Watt can do whatever he wants, but that offense, when your options are Ryan Fitzpatrick and Case Keenum, or possibly whoever you draft, yeah, I'm going to say that's a win for Dallas.
And then how about this Week 6 matchup where they're going to head to Seattle to take on the Seahawks?
That's a loss.
How are we even discussing that? Nah. That's a loss.
Giants-Dallas, we're going to get into some NFC East play here, Week 7.
Dallas home or away on that one?
That's going to be home.
Home for Dallas, that's a loss.
That's a loss.
Still a loss. It's still Seattle.
I'm hearing a lot of losses.
Or that's the Giants.
Washington-Dallas, Week 8.
Win. I think, Washington added D-Jax, and they've got RG3 back. They got a new coach in there, and I get it. Things are changing. I think it's going to be better than last season. They were very dysfunctional. I just don't think they're going to get it together.
Oh, win. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, I'm going win.
Okay, Dallas-Jacksonville.
Win.
It's win.
Arizona at Dallas.
That's a loss.
I'm going
with a win there. I'm going to say they get their fifth win of the season
there.
Three
wins in a row for the Cowgirls come in Week 10. Look out, Jerry Jones. Okay, and then we're another NFC East matchup again. Dallas in Meadowlands Stadium, Giants.
Ooh, that's tough.
I'm going loss.
Man, I think they might pull this one out. I mean, it split the series. I mean, the Giants always come in and they play well. But yeah, I think they can split the series. I'm going to give the Cowboys a win on that one.
Philadelphia heading to Dallas with no DeSean Jackson now.
Yeah. Jeremy Maclin's back. They've still got Cooper.
I'm still Shady going McCoy's with a loss there.
Yeah, another loss for the Cowgirls. And then Dallas is going to head up to Soldier Land to take on the Bears. It depends if Jay Cutler's playing or not.
Yeah.
He's always injured.
Yeah, you know, he may be in, he may be out. Well, let's put it this way. If he's in, the Cowboys are going to lose. If he's
for a win. Let's give the Cowboys a win on
Give
them
a win.
And then Dallas heading to Philadelphia to take on
Chip Kelly.
Chip Kelly. Why did I say Pete Carroll? Man.
I don't know.
It's bird brains. Seahawks. Philly.
Dallas, Philadelphia, who you got?
Philly.
I'm actually going to go Dallas on that one. They're going to split that season series.
New Orleans at Dallas. Game two. Later in the season.
That's Indianapolis.
Excuse me, Andrew Luck.
Still a loss. Either way, it's a loss.
Yeah, Andrew Luck will beat the Cowgirls. And then Week 17, to close the season out in FedEx Field on the road in Washington, D.C. against the Redskins. What you got?
I think they're going to lose that one. Split the series.
All right, Jason. The Cowgirls' record next season?
I've got them sitting at 6-10, missing the playoffs.
6-10.
Well, what did they do this offseason?
Landon?
I've got them 7-9.
7-9. Boo that man! And the Cowgirls with a 7-9 and a 6-10 record next year are going to have some very upset fans, including myself. And
and you think we care about that? Why?
We are done talking NFL because it is preseason and there are playoffs going on right now. As OKC or not OKC? Excuse me, the Clippers. Got away with one last night, apparently.
Yeah, they did. They blew a pretty substantial lead.
Blew a lead, and then apparently there's some little controversy about a call that should have been made on Curry last night.
There's been a lot of calls that have been made.
Okay,
in this.
Okay, first of all, NBA officiating is a joke right now, period.
Ooh, that was rough, Landon.
I'm sorry. I'm just calling it like I see it. And I'm not just talking about the Houston series. I'm talking about all around the NBA. There have been questionable calls in every single series, and I mean more than normal.
Yeah, I mean it's becoming a habit almost. But that I mean, in every game you're gonna see some calls that are missed and should have been called, shouldn't have been called, whatever it is. And you hope it doesn't come down to costing a team a game. Sometimes it does. But if you're looking at the Clippers, a few of their players are off. And both Matt Barnes and Danny Granger haven't been shooting well at all. However, the big men have been dominating. You need to let Blake Griffin eat. Get that man a bigger fork. Get that man a bigger spoon. Feed him in the block. Have him go against Jermaine O'Neal or David Lee, whoever's on him, and just have him dominate. He started with 16 points in the first game. Then he dropped a 35 spot. Then he dropped a 32 spot. If you want to win this series, get the ball into Blake Griffin.
Yeah, you want to talk big men that are absolutely eating right now. Let's go LaMarcus Aldridge. Look at what
back
he...
Back-to-back 40 points.
He's only the third player in NBA history to score at least 40 points in back-to-back games 1 and 2 on the road. The other two are Michael Jordan and Tracy McGrady. That's some pretty elite company right there, and it's no secret. You saw it even during the season. If it wasn't for LeBron James or Kevin Durant, I honestly believe that LaMarcus Aldridge would have gotten some serious, would have at least been in the discussion for the MVP, because you saw he went out for about a week, you know, about midway through the season for Portland.
Oh, Portland did terrible.
And
I remember that.
And
yeah,
they kind of tanked. They went, you know, 2-4, something along those lines during that stretch when he was out. A guy who's 6'11 can shoot the ball from just about anywhere on the floor. And, you know, James Harden, just 12 out of 47 in the first two games of this series. You saw Dwight Howard the other night. Like, I think this series is squarely on Dwight Howard.
Yeah, it's got to be. I mean, like I said, Harden's cold, and Dwight has come out liking that for the first quarter of the last game.
19 points in the first quarter.
He looked like he was 22 years old again, running up and down the court. He just dominated everybody. It was great to see. But we know the Rockets can score points even with Harden. Even Parsons is having a pretty cold streak right now. They need to get more production out of those guys. They need to get production out of Beverly and Lynn. But you're not going to win a game unless you can find a way to stop Aldridge. And it's difficult because you can put Dwight on him, but what do you do when Aldridge steps out to 11 feet or 12 feet? You don't want Dwight going out there to guard him. You need him under the rim. So you bring Asik in. Well, Asik can't keep up with him. I mean, he steps out there. I mean, he could take him off the dribble. You got to figure out a way to slow down Aldridge. You can't give him 35, 40
points. I mean, really, the way he's looking, the kind of shots that he's making in this series, because it's not like these are wide-open shots that he's knocking down. He's been hitting some contested shots. I mean, you mentioned Asik. No, he can't stay with him off the dribble, but there were at least three instances just in the fourth quarter of Game 2, which Asik went out and challenged him on a jump shot. He was already right up on him, had a hand in the face, and Omer Asik is no small guy. He's 7 feet tall with a hand in the face, but LaMarcus Aldridge just faded away, nothing but net. I mean, the guy's just playing an inhuman series right now, and you know the Blazers are going to go as far as he carries them.
Will the Rockets win a game on the road?
Yeah, they're gonna get a lead. I don't see them
getting swept.
I mean, Harden's
gonna that would be embarrassing.
It would be a huge. I mean, it's the first season you brought in Dwight. You've got Chandler. You've got Harden. Like, this is your
team.
That'd
be another shocker. Yeah. Not because Houston fans think one good year they're gonna win it all. Let's talk about some games.
Okay, the realistic fans and not just the bandwagon fans that jumped ship from Orlando to L.A.
All Houston.
To Houston.
All Houston fans. I can't stand
them.
Oh,
really? Because I'm a Houston fan, but I've been saying from the start of the season that the Rockets would not contend for a title.
You might have said it.
Your biggest surprises and biggest disappointments of the NBA playoffs thus far.
I guess it's going to have to be the Pacers as they dropped another game last night. Let's start talking here.
To the eighth seed.
Let's start talking about it. 98-85, they beat them by 13 points. You look at the high scoring Stevenson, 21, and then Teague, 22. He's had like what? A 20-plus game every single time?
And I believe this was the first, he was the first Atlanta player to have a 20-10, you know, 20 points, 10 assists in a playoff game since Spud Webb. You know, that's some pretty elite company when you're talking about Atlanta Hawks history.
So, Jason, you're Indiana. You're sitting down there in Atlanta, Georgia, going, we're down 2-1. What are you thinking here?
I think somebody needs to give Roy Hibbert like a shot of caffeine or somebody and wake that boy up, because he is not shooting very well. He's 8 points, 8 rebounds, 6 points, 4 rebounds, 4 points, 2 rebounds. That is not the kind of production you need out of your big man, especially in a playoff series. You just paid him a whole lot of money. You're expecting him to play like the all-star he is. He needs to step his game up.
OKC, Memphis. OKC scored 17 straight to end the game, and then they fell in overtime. I just think classic Zach Randolph pulling it off, and Paul Gasol, or excuse me,
Mark Gasol.
I always get them mixed up. As they beat OKC 98-95, and now I think it's 2-1.
Yeah, Memphis up it's 2-1 games to Memphis. 1 in that series. I mean, I think
another upset alert.
No, I still think OKC is gonna come back. I can definitely see this one going the full seven. Wouldn't be shocked at all, because Memphis is one of those teams that once they get to the playoffs, nobody wants to play them, because they're one of the few teams in the NBA that actually still plays defense. Like, they play defense, they rely on their big men to get their offense going. You don't see many teams like that in the NBA.
The score at the end of four was 85-85, so that's terrific defense.
And that is a perfect example of what a Memphis-style game looks like.
They held OKC to 36 points at halftime.
Yeah, you'd like, obviously, Landon said they dominated the paint. They've got those two big men in there. But they're also getting production from their bench. When Tony Allen is scoring 15, 16 points from you, Beno Udrich is in there scoring double digits, that's a hard team to beat.
Yeah. I mean, especially when Tony Allen, you said, giving you those 15, 16 points, playing the kind of defense, because the reason he's out there is for his lockdown defense. That's no secret. But like you said, Jason, when you can get 15 points from a guy that's normally out there just to play defense, I mean, they're playing with house money right now.
Yeah, OKC needs that kind of production from guys off their bench as well. You know, where's Caron Butler? Where's Jeremy Lamb? Where's Reggie Jackson? Those guys have got to
step
their game
back up. Where is Jeremy Lamb? That has been the question ever since they drafted him.
Technically they didn't draft him. The Rockets drafted him.
Oh, they did? Okay.
Yeah, the Rockets drafted him. He was a part of that.
Yeah.
He was really one of the focal points of the James Harden
trade.
Yeah,
that's who they wanted. The kid's got talent. There's no doubt about it.
All he's famous for right now is being the guy with the blonde hair streak on the bench, and I'm being serious. All right, real quick, before we take this break, give me your winners and losers tonight. Toronto, Brooklyn. At Brooklyn.
I'm going Brooklyn.
Yeah, I like Brooklyn in this one. I think they can get it together.
I think this is game three. This is game four.
Yeah, it's game three.
Game three, and it's tied 1-1 right now. And Chicago, Washington. At Washington.
I'm going Washington. They're going to take a 3-0 series lead.
Yeah, they won both games at Chicago, Jason.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Nene is having himself a pretty dang good series. 24 points, 8 rebounds in the first, 17 points, 7 rebounds in the second game. You're also having Martin Gortat there. He's in the middle. Game 1, he had a pretty good game. Game 2, not so much. So it's kind of which one of those we're going to see. Although I'm with Landon, I like him to go up 3-0.
And then your Houston Rockets in Portland, Oregon, Landon. What you got? What you got this series going to?
I originally had this series going 6. I mean, I'm saying the Rockets get back into it with a win tonight.
Yeah, I think the win's coming tonight.
I think they get their first win and only win of the series tonight. We're going to take a break, but stay tuned, because we're talking playoff hockey and we got some intense stats for you, so don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.